So justification is, I think, what the Bible is all about. It's all about Jesus, but from the time where Adam and Eve sin, God already told Eve that she would have a seed, which was referring to Christ, was gonna come to fix, to redeem what they had messed up by their sin. And so this was separate, but I have had on my mind for weeks or maybe months about laws. What are country laws, and then what are God's laws? And as I was thinking about this, I thought that might be a perfect introduction to justification. So I want to talk about justification in my main message and my main point, but today it will be a little bit more why justification. Why do we need justification? Why did God make a way to justify? It says in Romans 3 that He is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. So why is it necessary for anyone to be justified? Can't we work our way to God? And that's where the key is. We cannot, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are not equal with God. We are not like God. He won't accept us because we're somehow good enough like He is, because we're not. So why justification? And I want to look at laws today. What is the law? God is the author. He is the creator, and He is the author of all things. He is all things. He is the designer. He created first. Of what we have in the scriptures, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is first the designer of everything, and then He is, the Bible starts with Him designing and creating the earth. But it is also in God's mind, everything throughout all of history, from before the world was ever created, God existed. God existed in all eternity past, and He will exist in all eternity future. It is all in God's mind at the same time. And so God is a God of order, and He's a God of laws. And so I want to look a little bit at what are laws and how that brings us to the place where we need justification, because everyone breaks God's laws. Now, there are a few different ways of saying this, because one, we have the sin nature. We have the sin nature. We are fallen by nature as we're born. We are not okay. We are not okay if we can keep the laws and then die, then God will accept us. That's not how it is. The laws are merely a reflection and a framework of God's righteousness and of who God is. So there is this number, and I don't think it's correct, but I mean, in a certain extent, it is probably correct that the Old Testament has 613 laws. So in a certain extent, it's correct, but what I mean is, where it may not be correct is, a lot of the things that we read in the Old Testament has to do with what is right and wrong, what God accepts and doesn't accept, even though it's not exactly in the form of a law. If you do this, you will die. But it is there to teach us who God is. So it is, in effect, a law. It is a law about God, about who He is. And the law is the framework, and it is the perfection. It is displaying a little bit of the perfection of who God is. And so there's a lot of different directions we can go with the law, but I want to basically just show a little bit what the laws, a little bit of the basic of what the laws are that the Bible teaches us, shows us, and then how that comes down to us in life, in our countries, and for what the laws are. And I want to do that so that we can see how far we are from being justified on our own. So, the first time the law is mentioned in the Bible, apart from son-in-law or daughter-in-law, because those are mentioned before a law, but it is in Genesis 26, verse 5. But that's not the first command that God gave. The first command that I find that God gave, where God said, "This you shall not do," is where he said to Adam and Eve, "You shall not eat of this tree, but all the other trees you can eat." So let's look at that one first. Genesis 2:16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.'" All right, so God gave a command, which equals a law. And he said, "This is what you shall not do, and if you do it, there is this punishment, you will die." God's laws are commands. They are not suggestions or something to hopefully make your life better. Oh, if you keep the laws, then you'll have a good life, even though that is true in one aspect. But that's not for what they are. Okay, so everyone just keep the laws and we'll have our haven on earth, right? What else do we need? We don't even need God, because we'll just make everyone keep the law. Disobeying God's commands makes us guilty of death. That's how holy God's laws are. When he says the least little thing, which is not a little thing, but the thing that we think is the smallest command, if we break that, we're guilty of death. Because the soul that sins, it shall die. It says in Ezekiel, anything that God stands for and who God is, whoever goes against it is guilty of death. So who is not guilty of death? Everyone is. Genesis 26 verse 5 is the first time that the word law is used in that sense, where God talked about his laws. And he says, Genesis 26 verse 5, "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Let me quickly turn there. Okay, actually I should have started in verse 4. "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So generally, laws are given, and then punishments are given if you break them. And then there were different punishments that were given in the Bible. But here in this place, God rewarded Abraham for keeping his laws and keeping his statutes. But generally, a law was never, okay, if you do this, then you'll be blessed. Let me take it back a little bit. It is. If you keep God's commandments, you'll be blessed. And if you don't, you'll be cursed. That is true. But there was not such a thing that God said, okay, if you do this and this, I'll give you $1,000. If you do this and this, I'll give you 1,000 animals. That's not how God usually work. His blessings are voluntary, where he says, "I'll bless you. You keep my commandments, I'll bless you." That was like God freely giving. That's his grace. His grace is free grace. It's not, you can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't do anything that God says, "Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit more grace." In the same way, God never said, "Okay, if you keep my laws, I'm going to give you this and this much property, or I'm going to do this and this." That was not the way that laws worked. Laws were, if you break them, you get a punishment. So this was about Abraham, and then the next command was about Noah. It says in Genesis 6:22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Everything that God commanded Noah, Noah did. And then, at the same time, God showed how disgusting sin was how abhorrent it was to him by destroying the whole earth. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It doesn't say that he was trying to be a good person and God found him and said, oh, here's a nice person. No, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because why? Because God gave him grace. Grace is not something he earned. It's not something he worked for. Noah found grace and he did all that God commanded him. Why? Because God worked in him to will, to want to obey God. God can do that. In the day of God's power, his people become willing. It says in Psalm 110, God works to accomplish his purpose. And at the same time, when God showed grace to Noah, he gave his mercy in grace. He blessed Noah and he gave him a mind to think and a will to do what was right. At the same time, he destroyed the whole earth because he demonstrated his holiness. He demonstrated his abhorrence to evil. But then he said, I'm never going to destroy the earth again. He didn't say, okay, now I don't care about sin again. Or he didn't say that from now on people will obey me. He simply was demonstrating who he is and what he thought about wickedness and evil. Because it said the earth was corrupt. The earth was wicked. People were wicked. Like today. The last days will be like the days of Noah, where there'll be a lot of wickedness again. I didn't even look what time I started, but I'll make it roughly, and then hopefully we'll be happy. And then Genesis 21, verse 4, Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. This was a command that God gave to Abraham, which was not, in a sense, not a moral law. And what I mean with that is, it's not, okay, this is true in all of history, from Adam to today, till the world ends, that if you circumcise your child, you're morally correct, and if you don't circumcise your child, you're morally incorrect. That was not the type of command. God gave a command, and he expected people to obey him. He wanted people to obey him, but this was pointing the same way that animal sacrifices were pointing to something else. The circumcision was also pointing. It was pointing to the circumcision of the heart, which is the new covenant. When God takes out the heart of stone, he circumcises the heart, makes us new people, gives us heart of flesh, takes out a heart of stone. That was pointing to that. So that was a command of God, and also similar to the Sabbath. The Sabbath, it says, Christ is our rest. Christ is our Sabbath. The Sabbath was not a moral command. It was based on a principle of a day of rest, which I believe is a moral issue. But the Sabbath, most Sabbatarians today are not keeping the Sabbath. They're not doing what the Bible commanded that the Sabbath was to be. So if you want to keep the Sabbath, you'll have to go back and obey all those commands. But that is the deal, that it was similar to circumcision, where it was pointing to something, and this was pointing to Christ, Christ being our rest. And then I want to look at a few laws, and I'll have to just go them over quick. But as I mentioned, the law is for penalties to be given and for justice to be done, not for rewarding, usually. Of course, God did say, if you'll do this, I'll bless you. And Ephesians 6 also says it again, where the first commandment with a promise was, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. So there was a temporal blessing with obeying God's commandments. But with breaking them, there was an eternal punishment, unless there is some way to fix this, unless there is a redeemer, unless there is justification for our wrong. And So I don't like to just leave it hanging on the dark side with just the law. So I'll just, as we finish, I'll just briefly turn this to what is the fix, but then tomorrow we'll look at that, or what is the redemption, and then tomorrow we'll look at it in more depth. Examples of punishment. Adam and Eve, God said, you shall not eat of this tree. The day that you eat of it, you will surely die. We know they did not die physically, but they died spiritually. Their perfect fellowship that they had with God was broken. That was a punishment for their sin. The soul that sins shall die, as it says in Ezekiel 6. Genesis 6:17, and behold, I, says God, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So I mentioned that, but God says, I will destroy the whole earth. It wasn't climate change that brought a flood. It was God who said, I'm going to destroy the earth. And he, the same way, he says, at the end, I am going to destroy the world by fire. It's not going to be a flood again. It's going to be by fire. God is going to destroy the earth and all the wickedness with it, but his people will be saved, but the wicked will be punished. So, examples of punishment in the laws, Exodus 21, there's a few different examples. Exodus 21, verse 12, he that smites a man so that he dies shall be surely put to death. So if you kill a man, you get the death penalty. And this is talking about murder. You have hatred in your heart, you kill someone, you shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21, verse 22 through 25. If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. This was punishment. If you, by your wickedness, hurt someone and you take out their eye, your punishment is to give your eye for it, your hand for someone else's hand, life for life. That was a punishment that God's just law said is justice. This is right. This is the thing to do. Exodus 21, verse 28, if an ox gore a man or woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit or shall be okay. But if the ox were wont or were known that it pushed with his horn in time past, and it has been testified to his owner that he has not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned and his owner shall also be put to death. So there was again justice. If this person already knew that his animal was hurting others, and he still didn't put it down, he still didn't fence it, he still didn't take care of it, and it killed someone, the owner himself needs to die for it because he knew what was going to happen. So this is what God says is justice. Today, there's thousands of laws being made, and the United States is the first example that is the light of, almost like the light on a hill in a sense, even though it seems like things are getting more and more dark. But nowadays, they make thousands of laws every couple years. I looked over the last, 50 or 100 years, they had made like 30,000 laws. And we have to ask, where do they get that from? Who gives you the authority to just think up things to make laws? See, yes, we have vehicles today, so we should probably have a vehicle. If a person knew that his vehicle had no brakes and he still drove into town and he killed someone, okay, what should be done? We can look at these examples and say, okay, we need to make a law that if a person carelessly knew what was going to happen and killed someone, maybe, what is the right thing to do? Give his life for it? Or, what I am getting at is, laws have to be just because God is just and he gave the people just laws and God does not change. So today when we get foolish laws like the equal opportunity bill that the country wanted to pass, and they still want. The administration that is currently in office have said it needs to be passed. That wants to criminalize you for thinking something. And they want to say you thought it. They want to say you made a decision based on your feelings that someone couldn't work for you, and now you have to pay fines or your business has to be shut down because they say so. That is wickedness. That goes totally out of what the Bible ever gives us the right to do. It goes totally out of what is justice. It goes to humanistic thinking, which gets more and more and more lined up with Satan and his ways, where Satan wants to be God and build his kingdom. And yet we should stand against it. As Christians, we should stand against that. So, I want to briefly mention that. But then Jesus comes along and he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, he that looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. Jesus said, all these laws that were given, they are laws because God is holy and just. And when you break them in your heart, before God, you're already breaking the law. That's not to say that we can now make laws based on people's thoughts. Okay, I know this is what you were thinking, so I'm going to punish you for it. I'm the government, I'm going to punish you because this is what you were thinking. Jesus simply brought it out that God has an intention and a design behind every single law and behind every single word that is in his word. Anyhow, so I gave you a couple examples about punishment, and then there's where people would die for what they did. And then there's examples where someone has stolen, they need to restore double, it says, which is a type of justice. It is a punishment because you have to work. If you steal, you have to give back what you stole plus another portion, a double. That it says that multiple times. And I think there may even be where you have to give back four times, which is, I think, has to do with bigger stuff when it has to do with even bigger stuff. But I didn't look into that very far right now. Or if a fire breaks out and burns your neighbor's corn, you are to restore that because that is what is just. That is what is right. Or if that's in Exodus 22 that I'm speaking of now. And then there's also laws about scourging that they had in the Old Testament. Some laws, it was not something that people should be put to death for, but it was something that they whipped people for as a punishment for what they did. So God also has his levels of thing. I don't, from what I researched, I don't think they ever put people in prison as a punishment. They did that sometimes in a temporary place, or they did that. Joseph was put in prison indefinitely just because they want to get rid of him, basically. It wasn't because he did something. But we don't find that prisons were used for punishment, even though they were used. Prisons were used. I don't know all about that. I may be wrong about that one. But most of the punishments that God gave, or all the punishments that God gave in the Bible, they were not prisons. They were what I just said, and then maybe one or two more. So Jesus came and he turned that and showed us what God's design really was, that this is a problem of the heart. And in that, we see and we realize, unless we can be justified before God, there is no way we can see him. As Brother Novello said, without holiness, no one can see the Lord. Even though when a person is born again, he has that holiness. God gives him that holiness. That is not something that we have to worry about and work for all our life. That, oh, I want to be holy when Christ returns, or I want to be holy when I die. That is something that God has already taken care of. We can relax in that. God has taken care of that. But we must be holy. We have to be justified. And in Christ, we can be justified. Not in our works, not in our trust, not in our trying to be a good person, not in our trying to fix what we have done in the past. That I grew up in a place where the way it was brought across was, well, you want to get right with God, you have to go and do restitution for all the things you've done wrong in the past, whatever you can think of, and then ask God to forgive you, and then you're good. But the bottom line is not restitution. The bottom line is you got to be right with God. And that is only through Jesus Christ. If you're right and God brings something to your mind, yes, you probably need to do some restitution. You probably need to go and fix some things that you wronged other people. But you got to be right with God. And that is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Him coming and dying on the cross, shedding his blood for the remission of sins, dying and then being raised to new life, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Justification is only through Jesus Christ. There is no other route to justification. There is no other route to God, only through Jesus Christ.